Hare Krishna. So thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to speak today. Although I am the most unqualified to speak about the subject matter today, because as we are all observing the transcendental appearance of Srimati Radharani, and it is not very easy to speak about the great personality of Srimati Radharani, because that is a very intimate relationship of Radha and Krishna, which is not very easy to understand in our material contaminated state. The transcendental relationship of Radha and Krishna, which is based on pure love, cannot be understood in the material world. But somehow, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are having access to the transcendental personality of Srimati Radharani, who is the topmost servant of Sri Krishna. And also at the same time, she is non-different from Krishna. So to set the mood, I will read a little excerpt from Srila Prabhupada's lecture given in 1973 in September here in London. Prabhupada says, "Anyone who comes before Radharani to serve Krishna, oh, she becomes so pleased. Oh, here is a devotee of Krishna. She immediately recommends, oh Krishna, here is a devotee. This is Radharani. I may not be a devotee. I may be the most fallen rascal. But if I try to reach Krishna through Radharani, then my business is successful." Srila Prabhupada's lecture, Radhashmi, 5th September 1973, London. So, as Srila Prabhupada says very nicely here, that even though we are what's most unworthy, the Prabhupada uses very choicey word, rascals. And indeed, we are rascals in this material world. Otherwise, we would not be here in this miserable world. But nonetheless, Srila Prabhupada says that if we approach Srimati Radharani and pray to her, that, oh dear Radharani, please kindly recommend me to your Lord and Master Sri Krishna. And then Radharani is considered the most merciful potency of Krishna. And therefore Radharani, even though we are rascal, as Prabhupada says, or most unqualified, Radharani will look upon that living entity and with a smile and say, yes. And then she will introduce you, as Srila Prabhupada says in his lecture here, that, oh dear Krishna, here is a devotee of yours. Give him mercy. Give him shelter. And as Prabhupada says, when we pray in this mood to Srimati Radharani, then we are very successful, our business is done. So this is a very important aspect of understanding. And of course this morning we read the prayer, well it is a prayer, but we sing it. Radhika Stava, this is by Rupa Goswami. And of course, who better then Rupa Goswami can understand Srimati Radharani. Because as we all know now, in hindsight, by the mercy of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur Prabhupada, has revealed the transcendental personality of Rupa Goswami to us. Rupa Goswami is none other than Rupa Manjari, who is serving Lalita. And in assisting Lalita, she is assisting Radharani. And of course, then Radharani is making all tremendous arrangements to please Krishna. So in this way, this song is sung by prayer by Rupa Goswami. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite Gokula Tarane Pandala Mohite. So I'll quickly just read the translation and then try to understand the mood of Rupa Goswami, how he is approaching Srimati Radharani, and then we can also similarly kind of not imitate but learn from the great saintly persons how to approach the Supreme Lord and please the Supreme Lord in our devotional activities. Say, oh Radha, oh beloved of Madhava, oh you who are worshipped by all the young girls of Gokul, all glories unto you, all glories unto you. Oh, you who dress yourself in such a way to increase Lord Damodar's love and attachment for you. Oh, Queen of Vrindavan, which is the pleasure groves of Lord Hari. Oh, new moon, who has arisen from the ocean of King Vrishabhanu. Oh, friend of Lalita. Oh, you who make Vishakha loyal to you due to your wonderful qualities of friendliness, kindness, and faithfulness to Krishna. Oh, you who are filled with compassion. Oh, you whose divine characteristics are described by the great sages Sanaka and Sanatan. Oh, Radha, please be merciful unto me. So, as we can understand, this is the mood of Rupa Goswami, and how Rupa Goswami is glorifying the associates of Radharani, who are making wonderful arrangements to increase the attachment of Krishna, as Prabhupada or Prabhupada translates here, the young girls of Gokula. Now, in a mundane world, when we read something of this nature or a description of such nature, we would think that how can the God be a womanizer? This is why it is considered that this relationship of Krishna and the cowherd girls is very, very intimate, but intimate in the sense that it is not on a mundane level. As Prabhupada has many times explained to us, that in this material world, there is no such thing as a concept of love. What it is a perverted reflection of love, which is lust. And since the beginning of time, we are so much engrossed in this lust that we cannot go beyond that or even understand the pure love which is mentioned in the scriptures between Krishna and his devotees. And of course, the highest devotees are the gopis of Vrindavan. So, this is a very, very difficult subject to understand. And one lecture I was hearing yesterday by Prabhupada, it was only 15-20 minute lecture. It was given in New York. And Prabhupada said that today is Radhashmi, and he spoke a little bit about Radharani. And then he said, after this, I will go to my apartment. Now, in that lecture, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that it is very difficult to understand the pure love of Radha and Krishna. But it is suffice that Radharani is very, very compassionate and merciful. Simply meditate and pray to her that please glance upon this fallen soul that I can understand the transcendental love for Krishna. And Prabhupada was very clear about that. And then Prabhupada is explaining to a devotee who asks, Prabhupada, can you explain who is Radharani? And Prabhupada for a moment took a pause and then he said, Jai Shri Radha Gopalananda. Prabhupada took a little pause and he explained that Radharani is a direct expansion of the pleasure potency of Krishna, Ladini Shakti. So, Radharani is not something ordinary. It is the pleasure potency of the Supreme Lord. And that pleasure potency of the Supreme Lord is manifested in the embodiment of Srimati Radharani, who gives tremendous pleasure to Krishna, which is beyond our concept. We cannot understand the pleasure derived by Krishna when he sees the beautiful face of Radharani, and when Radharani is serving Krishna. That pleasure which is derived can be incomparable to anything in this material world. In fact, we cannot experience anything of that nature. Anything closest we can come to understanding that pure love for Krishna is when you are absorbed in transcendental ecstatic kirtan, and you forget the world, and you are so joyously chanting the holy name and hearing the holy name and just dancing without consideration of who is observing you or not. You are just completely madly dancing in the kirtan. At that point, there is a slight tinge of experience of the transcendental love which we can get by serving Krishna or developing love for Krishna. Otherwise, it's very difficult. And here, This is a very appropriate picture. I don't know if you can see very clearly. You know, these paintings are there, where Radharani, along with her sakhis, is offering Krishna a beautiful forest flower garland, and Krishna is playing his flute and enticing them. And in the bottom, the picture is very, very nicely depicting Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doing Harinam Sankirtan. So Prabhupada explains that this Harinam Sankirtan, when he absorbed in chanting the holy name, specifically the Hare Krishna mantra, and forget the whole material concept or material existence, just absorbed in chanting and dancing in pleasure of pleasing the Supreme Lord, is the same experience with the gopis are experiencing when they're having the wonderful rasa dance with Krishna in the groves of Vrindavan. So it's very difficult to understand, because we are still on a very mundane level of contamination, and we have very, very contaminated senses, and our mind is fully absorbed, full of lust. So therefore we have to completely become freed from all this material contamination. And this process of Krishna consciousness is actually given to us by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's empowered personality, none other than our very beloved Srila Prabhupada, has spread this Krishna consciousness to bring us to this highest platform simply by performing devotional service. And the real embodiment of devotional service is chanting the holy name of the Lord. Unfortunately, we cannot fully absorb ourselves in chanting, and therefore we have to do other kinds of associated service, which is also considered devotional service. But by performing this devotional service, we gradually elevate ourselves to appreciate the holy name and the power and potency of the holy name, and then absorb yourself in chanting the holy name. So this is one of the aspects of Krishna consciousness, which gives us the opportunity to be free from this entanglement and go back to the spiritual world. So now I will try to recite the actual pastime of the appearance of Srimati Radharani. This is not mentioned anywhere in the Bhagavatam. It's mentioned in the Puranas. Because in the Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada explains that Vyasadev, under the instructions of Narada Muni, was asked to compile Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana with essence of all the Vedas and all the Puranas and condense it in the form of Bhagavatam, so that we, the unfortunate living entities in Kali Yuga with short memory and short of time also, to absorb ourselves in the transcendental Bhagavatam, he compiled Bhagavatam. But the Prabhupada is explaining that there is no mention directly of Radharani in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is because if Vyasadeva was mentioning Radharani, he would then be in such an ecstatic state that he would not be able to complete the Bhagavatam, and therefore we would not have the Bhagavatam. So, out of his causeless compassion and Narada Muni's instructions, he kind of avoided that subject matter and give us the Bhagavatam, so that we can have a complete Bhagavatam, and by that we can go to the spiritual world, back home, back to Godhead. So here in this Purana it is mentioned that the divine appearance of Srimati Radharani was described by Lord Shiva to Parvati. And Parvati was inquiring about that why Lord Shiva is always in meditation and in trance, and in kind of very deep ecstatic trance where he is just fully absorbed. And whenever Shiva opens his eyes, then of course all hell breaks loose, you know. And he burns people with his eyes, and he does his tandem dance, and it destroys, as we all know now from the scriptures, that when Lord Shiva does his tandem dance, that's the annihilation of the material creation. So, but prior to doing all these things, he is just so peacefully sitting there, absorbed. And then, of course, Lord Shiva is explaining to Parvati about Krishna and Radharani. So one day, in the afternoon at noon, Vrishabhanu went to the Yamuna for taking his afternoon bath. Now, I was just thinking, Vrishabhanu is a king. Why would he go take a bath in the Yamuna when he has the palace and he has servants who would bring the water from the Yamuna and take a bath in his comfort of his palace? But no, he goes to the Yamuna. Why he goes to Yamuna is, of course, Yamuna is not just a river, but it is the flowing mercy of the Lord, which is in a liquid form. And when great saintly persons who have a higher understanding, when they go and take their bath in the Yamuna, well, we say bath, but actually they don't take a bath, they take a dip. You know, the word bath is kind of gross. But you take a dip with great awe and reverence. So when Vrishabhanu was approaching the waters of Yamuna, he saw a beautiful golden lotus floating. So he waded into the water and he looked at the lotus, because a golden lotus is an unusual sight. You find lotuses floating in the river, but normally they are pinkish color, which we see beautifully adorning the lotus feet of Gokulananda today, is what the lotus looks like. But here is a golden lotus. And it's not a small one, it's quite a large size, because within the center of the lotus is a beautiful young girl. And when Vrishabhanu saw this lotus, and within the lotus he saw this beautiful young girl, he was so mesmerized, because it is mentioned that the beauty and the effulgence was like million moons shining at the same time. So can you imagine the effect of how effulgent this beautiful young girl appears? And Vrishabhanu and Kirtida were trying for a long time to have a child, but they were not successful for some reason or other. And of course, the reason was that they were going to be blessed by Radharani as their daughter. Now it is mentioned here by Narada Muni that in your previous life you did a lot of austerities and you were praying to the Supreme Lord that let Goddess of Fortune take birth as our daughter. So in this life, as Vrishabhanu and Kirtida, that Goddess of Fortune, none other than Radharani, because the Goddess of Fortune is obviously an expansion of Radharani. So, Radharani was very compassionate to Vrishabhanu and Kirtida, that she came to them. And of course, when Vrishabhanu found little Radharani, he was so ecstatic and he took the young baby and went home with great ecstasy, and he presented the beautiful young Radharani to Kirtida. And Kirtida was so in ecstasy that finally the Supreme Lord has fulfilled their desire to have a child. And this beautiful girl came. And of course, you see, it's not an ordinary girl, because she is the embodiment of pure love of Krishna. So therefore, the attraction is very natural, as we all know from Srila Prabhupada's teachings, that Krishna means the all-attractive. And Krishna is so attractive that sometimes he also gets bewildered that how attractive he is. Can you imagine that? There's one painting, I don't know if you've seen. Of course, these paintings are not done by speculation. They are done by descriptions given by Srila Prabhupada, who is the transcendental person who has insight to Goloka Vrindavan. And Prabhupada gives this description of Krishna is looking at his face on a very polished marble floor, and he looks at himself and is completely bewildered by the beauty he sees in the reflection. And there's that painting where Krishna is looking. And Prabhupada explains that even Krishna sometimes doesn't understand
his own beauty.
So I think all of us also cannot understand our own beauties, although we may think we are very beautiful, but someone else says, oh, he's an ugly brute, you know. But that's their perception. But in our own hearts, all of us in the morning, we are in the bathroom after taking a shower, putting tilak, wow, I'm looking very great, you know. And you appreciate yourself, thinking, I'm beautiful. And if nobody appreciates you as beautiful, actually your mom will say, my child is the most beautiful child in this world. So we also are not aware of our own beauty. Unless you see yourself in a reflection of a mirror. But then that beauty is not what we see in the physical body, but it's the reflection of the soul. Hare Krishna. Krishna is coming and going now. He's giving his enticement that don't take me for granted because any moment I can go away. You know. Anyway, so let's get back to the story. So, Vrishabhanu was very happy. Kirtida was very happy. And they gave millions of cows in donation. And at that point, when they looked at the beautiful girl, there's no sound coming from her. And her eyes were closed. So they were wondering that we have been blessed by this beautiful child who is the most attractive little baby. But she cannot speak and she cannot open her eyes. So she may be blind and dumb. But nonetheless, because they were so much absorbed by the blessings of the Lord that this young girl came to them. So they did not worry about that. And they were praying that somehow this beautiful girl will get better. So they called some Ayurvedic doctors to see if they can help cure this little girl and open her eyes. Anyway, this was going on. And while they are intensely praying, Narada Muni comes with his veena. And he's chanting, Rade, 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 Rade. You know, normally he chants Narayan, but now because he's in also a different ecstatic mood, he's chanting Radharani's name, you know. And then Vrishabhanu, with great respect, honors Narada Muni. And then Narada Muni is there. And then Vrishabhanu is saying, Narada Muni, you are a great rishi. You are the transcendental sage. Please take this little baby in your lap, and simply by her in your lap, maybe she'll open her eyes by your transcendental potency and powers. Of course, Narada Muni knows that it is not his duty, because Radharani is waiting for someone else. But nonetheless, Narada Muni is a great devotee of the Lord. He was also considering himself that I am such a fortunate personality here that none other than the beloved of Krishna, my Lord and Master, she's going to be in my lap and I'm going to have opportunity to hold her and then play with her. So Narada Muni is ecstatic, and after that he hands over Radharani back to Vrishabhanu, and then he says to Vrishabhanu that very shortly you have a nice festival here and invite all your friends to celebrate the appearance of your darling daughter. She was 1 year old, Radharani. And then at that time, no, sorry, it was 2 years later, because Radharani is 1 year older than Krishna. So, Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda Maya were invited. And of course, Krishna is also there, 1 year old Krishna. So they are very happy because Nanda Maharaj and Vrishabhanu are very, very good friends. So they were in ecstasy to go and give the blessings to Radharani and participate in these festivities of celebration. So Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Maya went there, and Yashoda was very careful holding on to his Krishna, because there were many attempts by the demons already, as we heard in the beautiful song this morning, that Krishna was attacked by many demons sent by Kansa. So anyway, there they were. And then generally, as we all know, men go to talk to men and women go to talk to women. So Nanda Maharaj, he went to Vrishabhanu and embraced and started chit-chatting about wonderful socializing talks they have. I am not privy to what they talk about, but I'm sure we can imagine what kind of jubilant talks they would had and friendship of love. And similarly, Yashoda Maiya went to Kirtida, and they were so absorbed in each other because they haven't seen for a long time. And meanwhile, Yashoda Maiya forgot. She left Krishna on the floor, and Krishna saying, "Hello, I'm free from my mother's clutches. Now I can do my real business." So he crawls up to the little court in which Radharani is peacefully sleeping with her eyes closed. And then Krishna crawls up. And as Krishna is crawling up to the cradle, and is with his lotus hand, he touches Radharani. And immediately Radharani opens her eyes. And she looks at the beautiful form of Krishna and says, "Now I fulfill my vow." Because it is mentioned in the Puranas that Krishna was going to come to this material world to perform his pastimes in Gokul. And of course, as Srila Prabhupada explains to us, Krishna never comes alone. He comes with his consort and his associates. So before Krishna even appeared in Gokul, he had sent all the demigods that you come and take up residence in Braj. So many of them become coward boys, many of them become coward girls, many of them become cows, peacocks, deers. All the residents of Braj are not ordinary personalities. They are all beings from the higher planetary system who came here to specifically serve Krishna and participate in this transcendental pastime of Krishna. So Radharani was asked that he also go. And Radharani said, "I cannot go because if I go there, I will see the material world and I will see all these things. It will be painful for me." So I said, "I will go on the basis that when I go to the material world, I will not open my eyes and I will not see the world until I see your beautiful shining face. And after I see you, then I'll open my eyes." And of course Krishna is saying, "Don't worry. When you go there, you won't see anything material because the whole spiritual world will be there in Braj." Still Radharani is saying, "No, I cannot see anything but you." This is the love between Radha and Krishna. So of course, when Krishna touches the transcendental form of Radharani in that beautiful baby form, she opens her eyes and then she starts making sounds. And of course, these sounds, I don't know myself, but I would assume that she was transcendentally speaking to Krishna and Krishna was speaking to her. And then all of a sudden, the attention of Vrishabhanu and Kirtida and Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Maiya went towards these two young children. And Vrishabhanu was in such ecstasy that he saw the eyes of Radharani are open and the eyes, the pupils were bluish. And it is explained here in the Purana that Radharani's eyes were bluish because in her eyes there is always the reflection of Krishna, who is of course of bluish hue. So it's very difficult to understand this concept, but this is the transcendental nature of the spiritual energy and spiritual focus. So here, this is mentioned that Radharani's eyes were very beautiful and blue with that tinge of blue of reflection of Krishna in his eyes, in her eyes rather. And then she's peering into his eyes and Krishna is looking into her eyes and everybody's so jubilant and everyone is in complete ecstasy. And it's mentioned here, as soon as Radhika smelled the exotic fragrance of Krishna's transcendental body, She immediately opened her eyes for the very first time and looked directly at Krishna, who was the first person that she had ever seen. As Krishna gazed lovingly at baby Radhika, he began to smile ecstatically. Radhika then suddenly began to cry, and for the first time, she made the sound, and Rishabhanu and Kirtida, along with all the assembled Vaishnavis, or Brajvasis, were overjoyed to find out that their beloved daughter Radhika was not blind or dumb at all. In the Radha Rasa Sudha Nidhi, it is said, so powerful is the glance of her eyes that the flute slipped from Krishna's hands. His peacock crown started to sway, and his yellow shawl became displaced as the swans, as he swans and moves around and falls to the ground, saying, "Alas, will I ever get this chance to serve with love and devotion such a person as Radharani?" So can you imagine the ecstatic feeling was there? So this is as far as we can go and talk about Radharani, because beyond that, we'll get into speculation, and it could be very, very dangerous for us to kill our devotional life and become ecstatic, we become lusty, and we cannot understand the transcendental nature of Radharani. But we can understand somewhat. The revelations are there from the Puranas and the songs written by great acharyas. And in these teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is a chapter where he's saying the ecstasy of the Lord and his devotees. And it's mentioned here that Krishna has 64 qualities. But Radharani has only 25 qualities. But this 25 qualities is mentioned outweighs the 64 qualities. Because Krishna has 64 qualities and everybody is attracted to Krishna, but then Krishna is attracted to Radharani. It's amazing to understand this concept. So, wow, this writing is so small and my eyes are kind of... Can I ask for someone to read this little section? Because my eyes are not good. Just these 25 qualities here. Yeah, it's 64 and then it's mentioning 25 qualities.
Srimati Radharani has 25 transcendental qualities. She can control even Krishna by them. Her transcendental qualities are as follows. 1. She is sweetness personified. 2. She is fresh young girl. 3. Her eyes are always moving. 4. She is always brightly smiling. 5. She possesses all auspicious marks on her body. 6. She can agitate Krishna by the flavor of her person. 7. She is expert in the art of singing. 8. She can speak very nicely and sweetly. 9. She is expert in presenting feminine attractions. 10. She is modest and gentle. 11. She is always very merciful. 12. She is transcendentally cunning. 13. She knows how to dress nicely. 14. She is always shy. 15. She is always respectful. 16. She is always patient. 17. She is very grave. 18. She is enjoyed by Krishna. 19. She is always situated on the highest devotional platform. 20. She is the abode of love of the residents of Gokula. 21. She can give shelter to all kinds of devotees. 22. She is always affectionate to superiors and inferiors. 23. She is always obliged by the dealings of her associates. 24. she is the greatest amongst Krishna's girlfriends. And 25, she always keeps Krishna under her control. Shrimati Radharani ki.
So, did you hear all these 25 qualities? So, who is going to be the first one to say, what was the first one? You just heard it. Just see the power of our memory. Less than 25 seconds, we heard all the beautiful 25 qualities of Radharani, and we have already forgotten them. You cannot remember them. Of course, this is our nature. Therefore, we have to kind of go over and over and over, and we'll remember this. And when we remember these beautiful qualities of Radharani, and then when we come to take darshan of their lordships, you see Radha Gokulananda, and you see Gokulananda, and then you see Radharani, and you actually meditate on all the beautiful qualities of Krishna and the beautiful qualities of Radharani, that is the real darshan. Otherwise, you look at the beautiful lordships, and after that, you go away, and then 1 week later, we will ask you, 25th of August, 2020, was Radhashmi. Now it is 30th of August, 2020. Can you tell me what was Radharani holding in her hand? And you will say, I cannot remember. Can you remember what jewelry she was wearing? I cannot. At the most, we'll say, yes, she was wearing a flower dress. But beyond that, we forget. But something which we are attracted to, we cannot forget, because we will remember that. So, shortly we have to prepare for the Abhishek ceremony. But I will give you two examples. That something that really is attracting you and you really like, and you wish you could have that, you will remember that. So this example I give is that young ladies of Indian background who are absorbed in themselves in watching the Bollywood movies. And in Bollywood movies, all these heroines are coming and dressing in these beautiful saris of all different shades, colors, and descriptions. And the ladies are so absorbed in this fashion and they remember everything. And then 5-6 years later, they have been invited to go to some marriage ceremony and they want to look their best. So what do? They go to the sari shop. And they go to the sari shop and give the exact description of a sari which they saw 5 years ago, which a Bollywood actress was wearing. And she can give you a detail-to-detail sari. And she wants to purchase this sari because she wants to look her best in that sari to show everyone that, look, I am glamorous. Now, how she can remember details of that sari 5 years ago is beyond me. This is because they are absorbed in something which is very attractive to them. Now, that's one example. Another example I gave, many times I've given this, is something which you hear and you are so absorbed in that you cannot forget that. So, you know, about a few years back, about 4 or 5 years back, when I was driving my car and I was stuck in a traffic light and there was a guy next to me and he was playing Capital Gold and the radio, they were blaring away the songs of the 70s and the songs of the 70s came. Ooh, ah, and immediately I'm going, precious moments, when will I see you again? And I was thinking, hello, What are you doing? Now, this song I have not heard for 35 years. Remember, 35 years ago I heard this song. And for 35 years I have never heard that song. But immediately the tune started and I'm going, precious moments. And I'm going, what is this? I can remember the song. And why that song I can remember very vividly is because many years ago, myself and Suti Dharma, we went to the Watford, what is it called, that place? Where it was a concert, the 3 Degrees of Life. So we went to see the 3 Degrees live, you know, and that song was played by them. So it was like stuck in there. 35 years later, I can still remember that. Now, Bhagavad Gita, I've been reading since last 45 years. I have a hard time remembering the slokas. Why? I question myself. Why? The mundane song, after 35 years, I can remember. Slokas I'm reading every day and I cannot remember. There's something wrong here. Because material senses are attracted to material things. Spiritual senses are attracted to spiritual things. And therefore, we have to purify our senses by constantly practicing devotional service of Shravanam and Kirtanam. And when our senses are purified, and when the soul is awakened to the spiritual senses, then you can remember Krishna very easily. Otherwise, we forget Krishna very easily. But mundane things, we remember. So this is a lesson which I have realized in my life, that if you are attracted to something material and you really want it, then you will remember that for life. But Krishna consciousness, if you really practice with sincerity, with dedication, determination, then the very process, as Prabhupada explains, is purifying process. Our senses become purified, and more we become purified, and more we'll be able to remember this transcendental sound vibration and the glories of the Supreme Lord, and everything will be very fresh in your minds, because this is the nature of the soul, not the body. Because body is based on the 5 material senses. The soul is beyond the 5 material senses. So on that note, I will stop here. If anybody has any comments or any questions, feel free. Otherwise, we'll prepare for the transcendental abhishek of Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda and seek their blessings. And remember the meditation today, as I said, what Prabhupada said in the lecture in 1973 here in London. Pray to Radha Rani that she will become compassionate towards us, that she will recommend to her boyfriend, say, hey, he's okay. She's okay. And then we are on our way. Success is there. Turn
Hare Krishna. Just go to the beginning of description of Srimati Radharani's appearance. Is any mention how this golden lotus appeared there and how that baby was there and did Krishna just create it just like that, or some background story or something?
I researched it, but I could not find anything. So I would assume that, because Radharani is not an ordinary personality. She's the consort, and also, as Prabhupada explained, she's the expansion of pleasure potency of Krishna. So how Krishna appears, or Krishna's pleasure potency appears, is inconceivable. Just like, when we read about Krishna's appearance, that Krishna came in his Chaturbhuj form, in front of the Vasudeva and Devaki, and then by his yoga maya, he turned into a young baby. So we don't know how because the appearance and disappearance of the transcendental personality of the Supreme Lord cannot be understood with our material senses. Although I sometimes think that people don't really understand the transcendental nature of Krishna as appearance and disappearance. Because in India, especially Gujarat, when you go in that place where Prabhas, they say Krishna was shot in his foot by an arrow and then he died. So I can understand if you shot in your heart, you can die. But an arrow in the foot, how you can die? Because I have seen in this material world many people who had misfortune and their legs are amputated and they're still alive. So an arrow in the foot cannot kill Krishna. But that is their mundane belief. because they think Krishna is ordinary. But we have a better understanding by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. There's a transcendental personality, he appears. And therefore it is saying the appearance of the Lord cannot be understood because it is inconceivable. Although I was also curious like you, and I was going and doing some research and trying to figure out the actual appearance. And just like also Sita, when she appeared, Janaka Maharaj was plowing his land, and as he split the land with his plow, there was Sita appeared. So we cannot understand. As the appearance of the transcendental Lord and his consort is not done through the mundane, ordinary way. It is inconceivable. So that's the only thing I can say, is inconceivable, my friend.
And in terms of name, isn't it like a name-giving ceremony, or who gave her name, Radharani, out of blue, or how is that?
What's that?
How did she got the name, Radharani? The father gave her name, or some sages, so is anything about that?
Well, I think it was given by Narada Muni, I think. There was something mentioned here. I was in another place where I heard that. Radha means basically one who is very beautiful. So I would just go on that basis, and then we have to do some research to figure out how she got her name. Of course, one thing is, which I also heard from Prabhupada, and Prabhupada says, Radharani is the queen of Vrindavan. Now, when we look at our understanding, a queen means she must have a king. And that's why she's a queen. But here, Radharani doesn't have a king. So Prabhupada is explaining that she is the queen of Vrindavan. And because she is the controller of everything in Braj, and even the master of Vrindavan, Krishna, is controlled by Radharani, and that's why she is the queen. So it is not easy to understand these things from our mundane point of view. Like even our own UK here, we have Queen Elizabeth, she's a queen, but her husband, Prince Philip, is just a prince. We don't call him King Philip. So it's very difficult to understand these things, you know. Of course, we try to see this in mundane relationship or mundane understanding, but transcendental understanding is beyond us. It's inconceivable. So the best thing to do is, as Prabhupada says, when I gave that little intro in 1973, Prabhupada said, pray to Radharani that she becomes happy with our prayers. And she glances upon us, and then she nudges Krishna and says, okay, accept them as your devotee, and then we are successful in our endeavors. So I will stop here. Thank you very much. Jai Srimati Radharani ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai Gaur Premanande. Jai.